You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
If you look at what I said today, I said, don't panic. We don't want to be jumping up and down and going wild. Don't panic. I'm a cheerleader for this country, and I don't want to see panic. What I want to show is I want to show a calmness. I'm the leader of the country. I can't be jumping up and down and scaring people. I don't want to scare people. I want people not to panic.
September the 10th, 2020. That's President Trump on the Sean Hannity program last night responding to the claims out of the new Bob Woodward book, taking over 9 hours of interviews, that Trump saw this virus was going to be so deadly and dangerous, and he held back. He did not give us all the information. Well, there are two stories here. One, Bob Woodward held back, and the Washington Post, they held that information back. If they knew that then, when we first got into that, why wouldn't they run it? Oh, no, we had to save it for the book. So there'll be something that will sizzle in the book. I think you just got the sizzle, so I wouldn't spend the money on it. But the bottom line is, President Trump, in saying what he had been saying, and as he just repeated, defending what he told the public in the opening days of the crisis, and again, Woodward claiming Trump knew this was going to be worse than he was saying. Well, we didn't know for sure what it was going to be. But at the same time, the president said, I don't want to panic anyone, start scaring the public. Do you remember President Bush on the day of 9/11? He's at an elementary school reading to kids. And remember, they come over and kind of lean in and whisper in his ear, and you see his eyes and his facial expression. They just told him something very, very big. We didn't know what it was necessarily at that point, but it was them telling him that we've been hit by terrorists at the Twin Towers. Now, what should the president have done? Start screaming the kids, run home, grab your mommies, hold on, the world's coming in then. He sat there and he continued to kind of talk to the kids and engage with them, and for that he also got castigated. You're not showing enough concern. What do you want him to do? What would you do? Do you want to scare your children like that? All right, we've had 100 nights of rioting and violence in Portland. But now the Portland City Council, which had been on a two-week break. Yeah, they took a two-week break through at the midst of all this because, well, we want our free time, and we'll just let the police and everyone else deal with what's happening in the streets. We're going home. Well, when they finally came back into session, they have decided they have a plan to deal with rioting and violence in Portland. And it's already in effect in some areas, but they're going to expand what's going on. And it is something that will actually cripple police. Not in just dealing with these events. But when I tell you about this story, that's coming in the next segment. When I tell you about it, I want you to remember, this same tool might find a child who's been kidnapped and will be raped and left for dead if this tool is not used. If other cities follow the lead of Portland and other blue cities, you take this tool away from police, you might have a child in deadly danger, and we don't have the tool we need to help protect them. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours, a lot. And in fact, I also want to tell you that in Florida, with all this cancel culture going on, there is now a push to wipe out a statue in Florida. This is the World War II victory statue, of course, over Japan. This statue represents that KISS, the 25-foot unconditional surrender sculpture, the iconic photograph taken in Times Square, August 14, 1945, a sailor leaning over and kissing a dental assistant. They'd never met, just kissed there, and it was captured on video, and now they have a statue. But the cancel culture says, that's offensive. That's offensive. We want that taken down. It's offensive, or the, I guess looking at it, it's misogynistic. They don't need a reason. They just say, take it down. And for that extent, you also need to know what's going to happen or what the plan is for displaying the U.S. flag at the national football games. And they start tonight. Also, a text from our friend Andrew in Chicago. He got a text from another friend. And the friend said, if the outcome of this election were based on yard signs, Biden would come in third behind Donald Trump and firewood for sale. Lock and load, ready, on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, again, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This area is closed. It is open to vehicular traffic only. If you don't leave the area, you are subject to citation or arrest. You're also subject to the use of tear gas, crowd control agents, and your evacuations.
That is the typical stuff that's been happening in Portland, Oregon. 100 nights. Police are exhausted. I saw a report that they have estimated they have spent almost $7 million in the city of Portland dealing with these protests that become riots and arson and looting and threatening police and federal agents as well. Burning out businesses, attacking public facilities. Why? Because it's there, and they are woke, and you're not. And now Portland, with the city council coming back from a two-week vacation. Stop and think about that for just one moment, please. If your city is being torn apart on a nightly basis, rioting, arson, looting, bricks and bottles and other projectiles thrown at police, and even innocent civilians attacked. Do you think it's wise for your city leaders to take a two-week vacation? Say, we'll come back and deal with it when we finish our vacation, because we got this on the calendar, see, right here on the calendar. I guess they follow what I tell you to do every day while I wrap the program. This program will be on tomorrow. Book it. I guess they had it on their vacation schedule. Book it, and they're going to stay with it. By the way, that reminds me. Somebody was telling me yesterday, and I probably did the same thing again today, said, Ben, when you start your program, you sound like you're on fire. You're racing a 1,000 miles a minute. And I said, I probably am. First of all, I'm excited about what I'm doing. I've got a lot of material to get out, and I do rush through some things. There are times that I will slow down. But generally, yeah, I'm excited. I want to make sure you're engaged in this program because what I'm bringing you is stuff that's going to affect you one way or the other. You may not agree with it. That's fine. But I am excited to be here and doing it. And I start the programs off like that. And when I said a moment ago, when I started talking in the beginning about how the Portland City Council took this break and now in 2 weeks and then come back, and well, of course I got excited. And you should be also. And I told you that the Portland City Council, now that they're back, they're taking action to deal with the rioting and the looting. Well, what are they doing? What are they doing? They're now becoming the first city in the nation to ban the use of facial recognition technology by government agencies and private entities in public spaces. What? Listen, we have the capability now. We've got cameras everywhere, on every street corner, in many cities, certainly in the major cities. A lot of businesses have their security cameras aimed around their building, pointing into public spaces, sidewalks around their building, in case someone tries to break in. They're all monitoring, they're watching, and it has facial recognition capability, if not there, that they could take the tape and then use it. This idea of banning facial recognition technology from police agencies, which is the prime key here, is already underway in Oakland, San Fran, and a Boston suburb, and other blue cities are looking at it as well. But Portland is becoming the first to ban it, not only for government agencies, read that police and law enforcement, but also private businesses. And why? Well, because it's that kind of video that they then can identify folks and go get them later. The Chicago mayor even announced that. I can't remember if it's the Chicago mayor or the Chicago police chief. Remember when they had the looting, the most recent looting on the Chicago Magnificent Mile? And either the mayor or the police chief said, we know who you are. We got great visual pictures of you. We can identify you. We'll be coming after you. And that's not just looking at a picture. That can also be combining with facial recognition to make sure that this person is what they think you are. I mean, it's the same kind of thing that eventually when you're going through an airport, you may face facial recognition to identify, do you have a ticket? This is your name, and that is you. It has been under fire in recent years. And many are saying, well, it's all because it's discriminating against people based on skin color and gender. The effort has been to protect. And if you're protecting the community, many times the greatest protection is needed in the communities of color. That's why some cities, such as St. Louis, have put up what they have is special audio mics that will pick up the sound of gunfire before anyone bothers to call in, or even if they don't call in. Microphones placed at various locations in some crime-ridden areas, when it picks up the sound of gunfire, police are alerted immediately. They don't have to wait for a 911 call. They can react immediately, which means they have a greater chance of catching whoever's involved in the shooting. Now, obviously, some tech groups have been fighting against this, such as in Portland. Amazon apparently has spent at least $24,000 fighting the ban already. Google and IBM also trying to come up with opposition. And now this private law, as they're doing in Portland, would ban it in private businesses, restaurants, convenience stores, entertainment venues, banks, doctor's offices, so forth. It does include exceptions for churches, private residences, private clubs, institutions. Can it be abused? Yes. Is there a greater use that it would be valuable to the community? There will be plus minuses. I will be the first to admit that. It is much as if when we had 9/11, then we came up with the Patriot Act. Did it go too far? Did it give too much broad-reaching powers? At the time, We were all galvanized as a nation that we'll do whatever we need to keep these folks from doing it again. Go ahead. Listen to my phone calls. You're not going to hear anything. I have nothing to hide. Get pictures of me on a street corner. I'm not doing anything. You remember the Boston bomber case on the marathon? How they were able to use those cameras around the area? And then also some video that people then sent them that took them on cell phones and so forth. It's a crime-fighting weapon. Can it be used in an inappropriate way? Yes. What you need is, obviously, keeping a close watch on it. But to me, if it will stop crime and quickly identify and catch someone, it's critical. It's a critical piece of weapon. That's like telling the riot police, you cannot use pepper spray, you can't use pepper bullets, you can't use bullhorns, you can't use any noise-type systems to break up a crowd. What are they supposed to do? Just stand there? That's what they've had to do in some cases. I'll give you an example from L.A. in a moment. But, of course, blue cities and blue states' efforts and so forth, what they're trying to do basically is nullify police enforcement. Because they're convinced that's the woke signal and the shout from the rooftop. Police are bad. They're not any good for you. Nevertheless, a survey, as I quote recently numerous times, and a minority looking at black Americans particularly, asking, do you want more police in your neighborhood and more often, or do you want the same number of police in the neighborhood as you have now, or do you want fewer police? 80% of them said, we either want more or at least the same amount. Do not take away our police. 20% said, yeah, we don't want them in there. Is it because police are bad? Is it because some police have not been properly trained? Because some police exceed their authority, that police sometimes act in a criminal way as well? Yes, all of that is true. But is the answer to just do away with police? Do you want to live in that situation? The woke, anarchist, Antifa, that's what they're pushing, along with others joining with them. They want to get rid of police entirely. And they want to justify any violence. If you have ways of capturing them and identifying them, well, of course they don't want that. I take you back to just, regardless of your color, regardless of your gender, your religion, your political leanings, if you have a child, a grandchild, and they are suddenly kidnapped off of a street and thrown into a van and rushed away, and that was the last anyone saw of them. Would you not want cameras in the area to be used to identify the van as it approaches, maybe find some markers on it in case it might actually be the van used by the culprit as opposed to being stolen? Would you not want some kind of pictures that might identify who the person was that grab the child? Or are you just willing to accept that, well, let's go back to the old days and let's just canvass the neighborhood and spend the next 3 days looking for the child? And in a missing child case, time is critical. There are Democrats that are beginning to break away and say, this, I can't go with it. I can't. Some are in law enforcement. Some are just average citizens saying we just can't go that far. I am looking at a quote from a sheriff in Indiana. He said, what I've witnessed across the U.S. is shocking. As a law enforcement leader, I can't imagine 101 days of rioting condoned by the Democrat leadership. It's unbelievable that they can do that to a law enforcement professional. As a sheriff, I could not imagine putting my deputies on the front lines of these riots night after night with no relief in sight. This sheriff says, I have been a long-term Democrat supporter and voter, and is elected on a Democrat ticket in his county. But he says, I cannot do that anymore. I'm leaving the party because we cannot accept this kind of stuff. But if they have their way, that's what you're going to have on a consistent basis. And in the midst of all of them, you've got folks that also are just willing to accept the violence as, we're happy with it. If we hurt police, that's great with us. And when I see what the Portland City Council decided to do as one of its first major bills to deal with this violence in their city for 100-plus nights is to, oh, we got to pass this facial recognition technology restriction. And let's don't just keep it reference law enforcement. Let's expand it to private entities as well. So that means if that child is kidnapped inside a restaurant while the parents are talking and the child's walking to the restroom, you're not going to get any information there either. You want that? I mentioned a moment ago, I'll tell you about some of the attitudes that we're seeing across the nation. And again, Democrat cities. Let me tell you about L.A. when we continue.
You ain't nothing but a hound. It's Snoop and I'm a dog. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. It's Snoop and I'm a dog. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Once the visuals are spread across the nation of rioting and the attacks on police, it escalates because more folks join in. Sometimes they travel across state line to join because they're not having any violence in their area. They don't have any reason to do it. They'll look for one, but if they don't, then they'll go across state lines. And there is a reason to consider making some federal charges out of that, and maybe even a RICO Act, finding out who's funding them to make all these travels and get ready for all of this stuff, because they're not all the... all of them are doing it out of their pocket. They're getting help, clearly. But once the visuals are out there, others say, I want to be part of it. I mean, some of them are just joiners. That's what it amounts to. And they want to get in there and clash. And I want to be in. Maybe I'll get my picture on TV, too. I saw one the other day. National Guard troops were standing in a position protecting an area. And this one young black man, yelling into the face of a black National Guardsman, calling him all sorts of names, daring him to do something. The Guardsman has his rifle, has his arms crossed, and continues to stand stoic and just take it, because that's what he has to do. And then the attacker threw all of his verbal assaults and slurs to a woman National Guards member next to the black Guards member. And they think they're perfectly entitled to do that. And, of course, if the pictures show either one of the guardsmen suddenly reaching out and grabbing them, well, that's what they want. That is what they want. In L.A., they had another series of riots. Police say this was just clearly an aggressive anarchist group, and they were taunting police with various rants filled with expletives. One demonstrator calling an officer a stupid white B.E., you know. Another one saying you should go home and eat a giant smoke. You know, that they're just throwing anything they can. Another telling a cop, go home and beat your wife. Does anyone want to be a cop nowadays? And then the support or lack of support you get from various areas such as the educations of higher learning. A professor at the University of Rhode Island talking about the activist killed in Portland, a member of the group, the Patriot Prayer Group, when they clashed with some others. I remember one of the guys was shot to death. The man suspected of shooting him. Police got to him, and they say they had to shoot and kill that guy. But the member of the Patriot Prayer Group that was killed, this professor says, it was good that he was killed. There's no problem killing a fascist like that. This is where we are in our nation right now. Victor Davis Hanson did an excellent commentary on a piece. I don't have time to get into all of it, but he's saying right now, he said, and this is critical. He said, so the current war no longer pits radicals against conservatives, but often socialists and anarchists against conservatives and liberals. And that's true. The mob will turn on the liberals if they're not doing enough. We'll take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you about 1776 Forever Free. 1776 Forever Free, a community organization promoting, supporting the Constitution and the freedoms it provides us. There's a rally coming up this weekend in St. Louis. I'm going to give you details of that and more about the founder. That's still to come. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My guest is listed as the founder of 1776 Forever Free. I'm going to explain exactly what that is in a few moments as we go through the interview with him. But to understand who he is to begin with, Dr. Cordy Williams, doctor of chiropractic medicine, served in the Marines and had something happen while he was in California that he felt was violating his rights, so he stepped up to a microphone, and that kind of gave birth to 1776 Forever Free. Dr. Williams, first, Semper Fi, welcome aboard.
Semper Fi to you too, Larry, and it's an honor to be on. And you know, I'm always wondering, you know, if radio guys, you guys always have such a cool voice. I wish I had a cool voice like that, you know?
Well, I appreciate that, sir. I do. I think your voice is fine. And you used your voice with a megaphone in California because of something that had happened. Give me a brief on that.
Well, you know, basically, it's one of those things. Adolf Newsom, or Ron Jeremy Newsom, as I affectionately call him, is, and obviously I do that for a number of reasons, because this guy is just the draconian measures that he's putting in place, and that idiot in New York. It's just like these guys got to be straight out of, they've got to have the guidebook to Marxism and communism by Stalin or something, because what they're doing to their states and what they're doing to their people is just insane. And I was one of those Americans. I saw the writing on the wall, and had my wife come home one day, and she said, hey, babe, you know, let's get involved in protest. And I'm not one to go against the grain, but, you know, I stand as a patriot, and I stand for America, and I stand for you know, the red, white, and blue, and went to several rallies, and I found myself in Sacramento on May 1st and saw women getting thrown to the ground and batoned and handcuffed and by the orders of Adolf Newsom himself.
You're talking about Governor Newsom, Governor Newsom of California. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I call him Adolf.
I understand.
I call him Adolf for your viewing pleasure and hopefully laughter, but also to really describe the level of tyranny and communism that's going on here. And, yeah, I mean, I just saw all this stuff happening. It really felt like China. I actually, there's a video out there still on Facebook that they surprisingly haven't censored.
Well, of course, the other thing is, is that, you know, you're in California. You know you're neck deep into the blue, you know, so you don't have much of a stance out there as far as the support, do you?
Well, you know, you wouldn't think so. I mean, certainly not when you go north. I'm lucky, and this is probably why my wife and I are so willing to fight, because we're in a small beach town that's probably about 15 minutes outside of Camp Pendleton.
There you go. I knew you were going to say you're near Camp Pendleton. In that area, you're definitely going to find more patriots. Go ahead, sir.
Well, yeah, Larry, and I that was kind of the deal. I said, if we're going to go to California, I got to be able to smell the Marine Corps from my office. And that's 100% what we have going on. About 60% of my practice are Marines. Yes,
I want to, and folks, they do have a rally plan for Saturday. I'll give you some details on it in a moment. But let's basically understand what the organization is. You're a co-founder of it. It's called 1776 Forever Free. You call it a community-based organization supporting constitutional rights of all Americans, regardless of political party, gender, race, religion, or creed. And that would be a standing. A lot of folks would say, I could get in with that. But then there's also divisions in between conservatives. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. And you know, I think this election, it's such a pivotal time in history, Larry, and I think people need to understand. I'm a huge Trump supporter, but even you're not, you know, even if you're not, you're not voting for Trump. This is, do you want communism or do you want freedom? And that's the auspices of by which that we founded 1776 Forever Free. We don't care whether you're gay, straight, whatever you worship. We really don't care. Do you like the American flag? Do you like these patriotic values? Do you like having someone in the home that is the leader and our kids growing up in a society where they're not talking about these horribly kind of sexual things that they're talking about in fifth grade schools in California? Like, how do you want your kids to grow up? And so that's why we founded the organization, and now we're doing rallies all over the U.S.
Well, then I'd like your take. There's a Rasmussen poll that came out late last week that found 57% of likely U.S. voters agree with President Trump's statement that, quote, restoring patriotic education is essential to rebuilding a shared national identity focused on common American values and virtues. Your response?
I totally agree with it, and that's why our president's a stud. And I think he's the best president we've had, certainly in my lifetime. And I just turned 40 in January. And you know, that's the fabric of this country. When you bring people together, the flag is about unity. And when these victims that are out there, this victim mentality, this I should get everything for not working and sitting on my tail and watching reruns of Netflix, that type of mentality is killing our country. We need to get back to that capitalistic, you can achieve anything you want in America. I'm a guy that's lived in everything that can be lived in, mobile homes, trailers, whatever. And I'm a doctor now, and I'm leading a movement. And that's not because I sat on the sidelines. It's because I went out in the fourth quarter, and I started throwing touchdowns, and I worked hard. And that American dream is free for anybody. And we got to put that back into the, you know, society.
So you guys are on a tour, St. Louis being one of your stops, or is it the first stop, actually, the opening stop?
First stop, it's going to be this Saturday.
Okay.
Arrowhead Construction Company right there in St. Peter's. We partnered with them, and I think it's 4890 Service Road is the address, and doors open at 11 a.m. The event will be 12 to 3, and we've got Stacy Washington, myself, Dr. Rashid Buttar, Mark McCloskey, which was the guy that came out and him and his wife defended. You know, I'm sure your viewers will recognize him. A host of others, and we've got country music artist Coffey Anderson.
Well, tell me this, what you're also doing, though, in the midst here, and let's be very direct and honest about this, because here's where some folks suddenly say, oh, I see, you are looking for donations and money, and how will they know how the money's going to be spent and where it's going to go?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking. So, first of all, you know, this is something that I'm spending my kids' savings on. We've had some smaller sponsors. We almost had the NRA. We almost had Americans for Prosperity, but they had to back out because of everything with the COVID. What I can tell you is we raise money for specific causes. Like right now we're raising money. We're trying to get $20,000 for security for our DC march. Okay. And it's not because we think anything bad is going to happen. All our rallies and events are always safe. We've done thousands of them, you know, in California. We've never had an issue with BLM or Antifa. But the way that we ensure that is because we have really tight security.
And we are seeing an escalation of violence by Antifa and everything. In fact, I've spent several minutes on that before you joined us. Well, first of all, I wish you and the best as you guys spread the word to support our Constitution. And again, it is this Saturday. It opens at 11, but speakers from 12 to 3. It is at the Arrowhead Building Supply in St. Peter's. Folks, you can look up the address. But I appreciate you taking time to give us kind of a briefing. And as you know, the NFL season opens up tonight, and there's a lot of question about will the players be kneeling or standing for the flag?
Well, as my friend Colonel Jeffrey A. Powers, that wrote the scathing letter to the commissioner about 3 years ago, said, turn off your channels, change them, and don't watch these crybabies. Because heroes don't come in the form of shoulder pads and catching footballs. They come in the form of flak jackets and the guys that have to dodge bullets.
I ride with a bunch of Harley riders every Sunday, and once all of that started, we'd walk into some of the bars where you might be seeing a football game, but they post no NFL games being shown here. They just shut it down.
Praise God.
All right, listen,
I love that.
I appreciate your time, and we wish you the very best. Again, we'll put up the fact that on our podcast, as we put the program up later at Larry Connors USA Facebook, that it is $17.76 forever free. And again, thank you for your time, sir.
Yes, Larry. Thank you, brother. Semper Fi.
Semper Fi. Thank you, sir. Now, since we're talking about the football season, there's been an issue raised about the Chiefs game starting tonight. It's going to kick off the football season, obviously. And in addition to how the players will or will not stand or recognize the national anthem and so forth, We already know that they are looking at making some additional changes. The Chiefs will have the phrases, end racism, at one end of the end zone. At the other end, it takes all of us. I don't have a problem with those. End racism, it takes all of us. I have no problem with that. And apparently week one games are going to feature the Black National Anthem. And that, you know, again, that's your preference one way or the other. But they will also include the Star-Spangled Banner, our anthem. But here's where I'm seeing an issue. There's already pressure on the Chiefs for this game coming up, and it's going to go across the NFL. They want to fly, in addition to the American flag, they want to fly what is called, they are labeling, the African-American flag. African-American flag. And want it on decals on the helmets. Now, the first African-American flag officially adopted 100 years ago, sometimes referred to as a Pan-American, or rather Pan-African flag, or Black Liberation flag in some cases. It's a multicolored, red for blood, they say, green for glory, black is for the people. It looks to be a Stars and Stripes display from one picture I've seen. I don't know if that's truly representative of the flag, but there's another push against the NFL, and I think it's going to cost the agency and the profession and the sports.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
military COVID infected, 118,984. Military COVID deaths, 6,114.
That is Joe Biden out of the basement speaking to members of the United Auto Workers in Michigan. And, of course, trying to, again to attack that this president, President Trump, has not done a good job of protecting our nation from COVID. And one of the issues he wanted to bring up is how many U.S. military deaths from coronavirus. As you heard him say, 6,114 U.S. military deaths from coronavirus. That's wrong, Joe. The actual number, and every life counts. Every life counts. But it's not 6,114 U.S. military troops dying of COVID. It is seven. Seven. His team quickly said, he meant to cite the number of dead in Michigan, not the military. Well, he said, Michigan begins with an M, military begins with an M. Maybe that's where the confusion was. I don't. This is another reason that they're going to have a hard time with this guy on the campaign trail. And in the next hour, we're going to spend more time on that as to Biden on the campaign trail. They're trying to keep him off, as use him as little as possible, trying to figure out a way maybe get out of the debates. And Kamala Harris is not that much out, because if she outshines Joe while he's in the basement, it's a, as the one analyst says, this is a dilemma for the Democrats, the leftists. We're going to get into that in more detail a little bit later. But coming up with stuff like that, and you know, if Trump had made a remark like that and those numbers off that far, do you not know how the mainstream media would be absolutely chastising him, criticizing, and saying, look, fact check. Have you seen the mainstream media fact check Joe Biden on that big of a mistake? Have you? No, of course you haven't. You're not going to. By the way, this New York City protest that we were talking about the other day, I told you that some of those being arrested, they're not poor people. They come from very wealthy folks. And in fact, some of the pictures being posted now for the New York City protest, they are members of the wealthy Upper East Side of New York City. They are very rich. Their parents are very rich. One of them I pointed out to you earlier, child of an architect and child psychiatrist with a second home in Connecticut. Five others appear to be coming from privileged backgrounds. One police source said that just shows the height of hypocrisy. They're out there complaining about folks suffering and everything, and they've had a life of privilege. And when they are released from jail, they don't go back to some shanty. They can go back to their Upper East Side condo. And yet they're out there rioting on a constant basis. I read from a column earlier, a little bit from Victor Davis Hanson. I'm going to try to spend more time on it at some point. It's just finding the right time. He is a senior fellow at the Hoover Institute, Stanford University. And he wrote a piece, Not Your Parents' Revolution, How Today's Anarchists Differ from the 60s Protesters. And he points out exactly what we just saw in those who were arrested, as identified for you, out of New York City, so many of them leading lives of wealth and privilege, and they're out there busted for rioting. He said the scariest trait of the current revolution is that many of the sympathizers haven't changed much since the 60s. They may be rich, powerful, and influential and older, but they're just as reckless and see the current chaos as a final victory in their own long march for the 60s. And as I pointed out earlier, this current war of protest and activists is not just pitting radicals against conservatives, but socialists and anarchists against conservatives and liberals. There are many Democrats, and I've got some good friends who are Democrats. They don't believe in any of the stuff in the street. They're not a Trump supporter. They're not going to support him. And I guess they think Biden's going to be the only way, only option for them, if they vote at all. And many surveys are showing independents If they haven't made up their mind and they're not a Trump supporter, they're not going to bother Biden. They just won't do it. The independents who are engaged tend to want to go for Trump. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But what we're watching is a lot of Democrats, they don't endorse this stuff in the streets. Or if they are a city leader, they might until it comes to their front door and then suddenly shut them down. That's exactly what happened in Seattle. The mayor was more than glad to have Chaz Chop take over a central part of Seattle, destroy businesses, cause problems and so forth, but until they showed up at her door at her home. Isn't that the way it always plays out? Coming up in the next hour, we will get more into how Biden can or cannot be on the campaign trail and the problem with putting Harris on the campaign trail in place of him. And again, President Trump accused of not telling us enough about COVID in the beginning. Written by or in a book by Bob Woodward. And the question about Bob Woodward is, you had that months ago and you held it just so you could sell your book? Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.